Welcome back, everybody, to Yom Tov Daf Kuf Amud Aleph 100A, and we are on the very bottom of Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis. Now comes the Gemara and discusses more about Hotzah, and we have to remember before we go into this, anytime we have Hotzah, there needs to be an Akira and Hanach, and you need to pick it up and put it down in order to be Chayv. It needs to go either from Rishis to Rishis or four Amos in Rishis Arabin. And today we are going to discuss what's considered an Akira from picking up in certain areas. That's where we're going to start, then we're going to get into new Mishnahs. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rava says, Pshitali, it's obvious to me that Mayim Agabi Mayim Hainu Al Nachasa. And if you have water that's on top of water, it's considered its natural state of rest, and therefore if you were to pick up from that water and take from Rishis Haram to Rishis Yachar or the opposite, then you would be Chayef, meaning it's an Akira to take when water is on top of water, because it all becomes one big item of one big body of water, and if you take from one versus to the other, you're going to be chayef. But egos agave mayim. But if you have a nut floating on top of water, lav haynu anachasan, that's not considered its natural state of rest, and therefore if you pick up that nut from the water, that's not considered a real akira, because it was not in its natural state of rest. So Bayi Rava Rava asks a question, though, based on this. So egos bekli, ukli tzaf agave mayim, what would the halacha be? Let's say you have a nut in a kli, and the kli is floating upon water. So do we go after the kli, or do we go after the egos? So mi amrinam basar egos as and do we say that we follow the nut? And the nut is at rest in the kli, so therefore you would be chayav for an akira. O dilma, basar kli aslina, nor do we follow the vessel, vahalonayach, and the vessel's not at rest because it's in moving water, and therefore you would not be chayav for an akira. Teku, we leave this as a question. Now the Gemara discusses a similar type of case. Shemen agabe yayin. Let's say you have oil that's floating on top of wine. Anytime you have oil with another liquid, it goes to the top, and we happen to be talking here about oil and wine because we're going to see this is a Mishnah that discusses truma. So machlokas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. So this is a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan, whether this is considered its natural state or not. It's not because we have a Mishnah in Tvul Yom. So we need to know the halacha background in order to understand this. Truma is something which cannot become tame. If it becomes tame, then it's pasul. It's no good. And the way it can become pasul is if a tvul yom, someone who has finished most of the tuma tahor process to become tahor, but they just need the nightfall to come. So if they are in this type of situation, then they can still make truma pasul by touching. So shemen shetzaf agave yain. So if you have oil of truma that's floating on top of wine, which is truma v'nagel tvul yom bashemen, and the tvul yom touched the shemen, but he did not touch the wine. So lo pasul el shemen. So the Tanakhama says he only made the shemen pasul, only the oil is now pasul, but the wine's going to be okay, clearly showing that they are two separate entities. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says both the oil and the wine are connected, and therefore they would both become pasul. So we see that it's the same machlokas, just like what we said, whether they become one unit or not, it's considered a real resting place where you would have a valid akira, meaning just like water with water becomes one big thing. So if you picked it up from one place to another, you'd be chayev. So the same thing would apply if you hold that wine and oil are really one entity, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But the Tanakhama disagrees, and he would hold that it's not like water and water, it's more like the nut in water, and that's why you would not be chayev if you did an akira from there. Good, now the Gemara goes on and says, Amar Abai Abai, he says, Bor Rishis Haram Amukah Asar Rechav Hashmona. So if you have a pit in Rishis Haram that's 10 tefachim deep and 8 tefachim wide, that's much more than is needed for Rishis HaYachid. We only need really 4 tefachim wide. But here it's 8 tefachim wide, so Vizark Lusokha Machatzelas, and someone threw a mat into it, Chayiv, you are going to be Chayiv, that's obvious. Chilka B'Machatzelas, but now here's where it becomes interesting. If he put the mat into the pit by putting it as like a machitza in the middle, and now you put it right in the middle, so now each of the sides of the machitza doesn't have the full 4 tefachim that's necessary in terms of its width, it's only 3 point whatever it is, then you'd be patur because the place where you put the mat, this machitza now messes up the size that's necessary for Rishis HaYachid, and you're now going to be patur because you have not gone from Rishis to Rishis. Now comes the Gemara and says, this whole shita of Abaye has to be understood within the Rabbi Yochanan that we saw yesterday, because remember with Rabbi Yochanan we saw yesterday, let's say you have a ditch, you have a bore which is 10 tefachim deep, and then you dig a little bit into that ditch, so you've done an act which should be us, so you've taken from Rishis to Rishis, meaning you took the dirt from the Rishis Haram and you put it into this ditch which was the Rishis HaYachid because it was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, but now by you putting this dirt in it, you've now made it only 9 tefachim, so now you now ruined the size of that whole entity. Now the question we had yesterday was, does this make you chayv? Are you going to be chayv for this type of hanacha? Because at the same time that you put it down, you now ruin the size of the rishus. So can all of this be done in one action? Would you be chayv or pater? And we had Rabbi Yochanan left this as a question. According to Abaye, says the Gemara, La'abaye debshitalei demechatzelas mevatl mechitza. From what we see from here, according to Abaye, that he's putting down this mechitza and messing up the size, and he clearly says that you're going to be pater. So kol shekein chulin mevatl mechitza. So for sure, in this case we saw yesterday with the ditch and the dirt, like Rabbi Yochanan had, then of course you're going to be pater. But Rabbi Yochanan according to Rabbi Yochanan, who wasn't sure, he left it as a question in terms of putting the extra tefach into the ditch. When he said that over there, he was besafek what the halacha would be. So he would say it's obvious in this case by the mat that this would not mess up the amount, then you would be chayiv in such a case, because the ditch with the earth, so that's something which you intend to keep there. So of course that's going to become part of it, and still he's mesupuk about that, as opposed to this mat case, you're going to take that out eventually, and therefore you would certainly be chayiv according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have another type of, similar type of case. So if there was a pit in Rishis HaRabim, which is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, but it was full of water, and someone threw from Rishis HaRabim into this pit, chayiv, you are going to be chayiv for transferring from this Rishis HaRabim into this pit, which is a Rishis HaYachid. But if this pit was filled with fruit and then you threw inside of it, then you would be pater. So ask the Gemara, my time, why would you be chayiv in the first case when it's filled with water, but pater when it's filled with fruit? Says the Gemara, maim lo mevatli mechitzasa, peros mevatli mechitzah. Because it's different when it comes to water. Water does not mess up the dimensions of the entity that you have. So it will not mess up these walls, it will not mess up your Rishis HaYachid. But when you have peros, then it changes the dimensions, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv. Tani nam yachu, we see this in a similar way, where the Brisa tells us, Azorik minayam u'istro minayistro layam pater, that if someone throws an object from a sea to a highway or highway to a sea, you're going to be pater midel raisa, because a sea is a karmelis and it's not really its own rishos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, though Rabbi Shimon disagrees, or expands on this, and he says, Im yish b'makum shizar kamoka sar v'rachav arba chayiv, that if there was a separate area that was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, meaning it was its own real rishos ha-yachid, then you're going to be chayiv for throwing. So what we see from here is this own separate area within the sea. It's filled with water, yet it's still considered a rishos ha-yachid, because water does not mess up the dimensions of a rishos. Okay, now we go on to the next mishnah. So now the mishnah is talking about throwing 4 amos within Rishis HaRabim, and this is a mishnah that we've seen in our Gemara a few times before. So zorik arba amos bakosos, if someone throws an object 4 amos in Rishis HaRabim against a wall, gemal me'asar tefachim, if it's above 10 tefachim kizorik ba'avir, then it's just like you threw it in the air, makum tur, and you're going to be pater. Lamata me'asar, but if you threw it below 10 tefachim kizorik ba'aretz, and it's as if you threw it on the ground, and hazorik ba'aretz arba amos chayiv, and we know the halacha is that if someone throws 4 amos in Rishis HaRabim, you are going to be chayiv. Ask the Gemara v'halonach, how could you possibly say the case where you threw it against the wall is going to be chayiv? There was never an hanacha. We know in order to be chayiv again, you need an akira and hanacha, but there was never a hanacha. So this is the answer we've seen in the Gemara before. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the case is b'dvela shemena shaninu. We're talking about a case of sticky fig cakes where it sticks to the wall, and that's why you would be chayiv. Now says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yudam Arav, Amar Rabbi Chia. Zarek l'mala me'asar v'halcha v'nacha b'chor kol shehu. So what would be the halacha? Let's say someone threw an object from Rishis HaRabim with above 10 tefachim, and it went into this wall. There was a small crevice in the wall, and it went into this area, and it didn't have the dimensions of being 4x4. So banu l'machlokas Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanan. So this then goes and leads us into a machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, which is by hilchos mezuzah. Why? Because lo Rabbi Meir damar chokin lahashlim mechayev, lo Rabbanan damar in chokin lahashlim lo mechayev. So they have a machlokas about a case where you have an archway, meaning you have a thing which is 10 tefachim high, but it kind of arches towards the top. So on its bottom, it is 4 tefachim wide, but as you get towards the top, it narrows out and is not 4 tefachim wide. So Rabbi Meir has this concept known as chokim lahashlim, where we imagine the whole thing is really hollow, and we assume that it's really a 10x4 type of thing, and you are going to be okay in terms of considering it its own rishus, and that's why it's going to be enough. But the Rabbanan do not hold of such thing. They say, in chokim lahashlim, we're not going to have it that way, and therefore they would say that you're going to be pater in this case. So when we're talking about whether this crevice is going to be enough of a rishus to make you chayiv, it would be totally on this machlok as Rabbi Meir, who says that we view the whole thing as based on its potential, and since it has the potential to have enough for rishus hayachad, you'd be chayiv, as opposed to the Rabbanan, who say that you would not be chayiv. And we have this found in another Brisa, Tani Nami. So we see that this same case comes up, and the Brisa says Rabbi Meir would say you're chayiv, and Lachacham would say you're pater, just like this machlokes by the mezuzah, which is by chokim lahashlim or not. Now the Gemara discusses the halachos by a mount. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Tel Hamislakir Asar Mitoch Arba, Vizarek Venach Al Gabav Chayiv. So let's say you have the following case. You have a 10 tefach hill type of thing, and it slopes down at a 4 amos distance, meaning you have something which is 10 tefachim high, and there's a steep incline that inclines only at the space, the distance of 4 amos. So when you have it as this type of thing, it's all considered one rishus, and 4 amos is the maximum that would be there in order to be considered a tel hamaslak, in order to be considered still rishus hayachid, and that's why if you throw from a rishus haram onto that, you are going to be chayiv for throwing from rishus haram to rishus hayachid. Tani nami hachu is also turned by some mavo sheshavu l'soch v'nasa midron rishus haram o shavu rishus haram v'nasa midron l'soch. If you have some sort of alleyway that's level along the insides, but it slopes downwards toward the rishus haram, or if you have something which is level with the rishus haram and it slopes downwards towards the inside, also mavo ino tarach l'lechiv l'kora. So this type of alleyway doesn't doesn't need any sort of extra help in terms of Hilchos Erev, and you don't need any sort of boards or any sort of poles or anything like that, because the slope itself, the ramp itself, is going to be considered a mechitza. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, tell us lakir asara mitoch arba. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says what we just said, that a mound that is 10 tefachim high and slopes down, and it takes only 4 amos to get to that incline. Vizark v'nachagav of chayv, you're going to be chayv if you throw onto that, because that, again, is considered its own rishus hayachid. So if you threw from rishram to this rishus hayachid, you are going to be chayv. Now the next Mishnah tells us, zark l'soch arba amos. If someone throws something within 4 amos, we know that in order to be chayv, you have to throw something with more than 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah. So if he threw it within 4 amos, in Iskalga Chutzla Arba Amos, but then it rolled, the wind took it, and it went beyond 4 amos, you are going to be Pater Chutzla Arba Amos. But if you threw it beyond 4 amos, in Iskalga Lesoch Arba Amos, but then it rolled back inward, the wind blew it in, so it ended up within 4 amos, still you are going to be Chayv. Ask the Gemara though, how could you possibly be Chayv? Halonach, but there was never any Hanacha. In order to be Chayv, you need an Akira and Hanacha. But over here, you threw it outside of Arba Amos, so you thought you were going to be Chayv, but the wind blew it back in. There was never any sort of Hanachas. How can we possibly say that you're going to be chayv? So answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Bushanacha Gavi Mashu. No, we must be talking about a case where the object briefly rested on some tiny thing. As long as it rested on something, even if it's the size of a mashu, just a minimal thing, even like a needle or something, that's what makes you chayv. We saw this also in a Brice, the Zarek Chutz Arba Amos, if someone threw it outside of Arba Amos, Udechafoso Haruach, and then the wind pushed it back within 4 amos. And even if the wind then brought it back out afterwards, beyond 4 amos, pater, you're going to be pater. But if the wind held it in its place, meaning there was something that it kind of had some sort of hanacha, that even though if it were to bring it back in within 4 amos, you're still going to be chayv because it had that hanacha at some point outside of the 4 amos. Amarava, we have a similar type of ruling. An object within 3 tefachim of the ground. So this lava type of halacha, like we saw that anything within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered like the ground. But still, even if it's 3 tefachim from the ground, still, you would still need a hanacha on some sort of mashu. It would still need to be resting on something. Yasub Marimar Rakamar La Lahash Maita. So Marimar was sitting and telling over this teaching of Rav Amrali Ravina La Marimar and Ravina Sitzar Marimar Lav Hainu Mas Nisan. Was this not exactly what we said in our Mishnah? This is exactly what we said in our Mishnah, that something that goes beyond 4 amos and then the wind brings it back in and it goes within 4 amos, that you're going to be chayv. And Rabbi Yochanan explained this must be a case where it was resting on something. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan could have easily just explained that we're talking about a case that it was within 3 tefachim of the ground, that lavud could apply, and therefore that was considered a hanacha. But he didn't say that. He said, even though it was within 3 tefachim of the ground, still it needs to rest on something. So we already know this. Why do you have to teach me this halacha? This is already explicit from Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of our Mishnah. So it says, Gemara no amar lei, because Marimar said back to Ravina, Miskalgo kamar. Miskalgo in sofo lanuach, aval hai, kevan de sofo lanuach, afal gavdol nach, kaman de nach dami, kamash malan. So says Marimar, no, this case of Rav is totally different, because by the case of the wind in our Mishnah, when we were talking about the case of the Mishnah, so it was never really going to have a valid hanacha, because it was always going to be blowing around in the wind. So the only time that would work, you're right, is only if it's actually resting on some sort of object, on a mashu of some sort. But if we had something which is more stable, where you might think, okay, maybe love would be enough, that's what we might have thought. Kamash Malan, that no, Rava teaches us that even in that case, the Rabbanan tell us it needs to actually land on something in order to be considered a hanacha. And this is the end of Daf Kuf Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.